I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. For every old time radio quiz show that people fondly remember, like The Quiz Kids and Information Please and Take It or Leave It, there were a dozen similar shows that got lost along the way. One such show is The Better Half, which ran on the Mutual Network for 8 years, from 1942 to 1950. The Better Half tried to answer the question, who is smarter, the husband or the wife? Each week, four married couples did crazy stunts that were supposed to determine whether males or females were superior. The show suffered from innumerable time changes. It seemed to switch broadcast days and times every few weeks, and it had a hard time developing a loyal audience because you never knew when it was going to be on. For the first couple of years, Tom Slater hosted the show, then Tiny Ruffner took over for the last 6 years of the run. This episode was first broadcast on September 23, 1949. Here's Tiny Ruffner and The Better Half.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet The Better Half.
Because there's one in every family, we know you will agree. So join us now as we find out who the better half will be.
Well, hello, friends. This is Tiny Ruffner and all the lads ready to dish up some fun and laughs on another transcribed session of The Better Half. Our couples tonight are in a real fighting mood, so let's be off with our first family feud between Mr. and Mrs. Mark Horn of New York City. Come right up to our microphone, folks. Good evening to you, Mr. and Mrs. Horn. How are you this evening?
We're fine, thank you.
I must say that you're looking very chipper. You two look like married life might agree with you. How long have you been married?
16 years.
But it seems like only 60, doesn't it, Mr. Horn?
Yes, sir.
What is that? You said what? Yes, sir? My boy. Now, what would you say is the most important thing for a happy married life, Mr. Horn? Now, think this over.
I think a wife is very necessary.
Gives him two, counting the one on his head. Well, you're very clever, you know. What sort of work do you do, sir?
I'm in transportation.
Plane, train, push car to baby carriage.
Neither in motor transportation.
In motor. You're going for the big stuff, huh? Any little klaxons at home, Mrs. Horn?
Two.
Two, huh? Who do they think the better half of the family is?
Well, they really don't say.
They don't, huh? No. Why is that?
Well, I don't think they want to upset their mother.
Oh.
Now, just a minute. We'll settle this peaceful-like here, and when we're through, there'll be no question. But by the way, tell me, Mrs. Horn, when you squeeze this horn over here, does he beep, honk, or just splutter?
Oh, I don't know. I think he just horns.
He just horns a little bit, huh? Well, both of you be ready to sail into these questions, folks. The payoff each time is the one who comes up with the right answer first. I'm going to mention some different kinds of meat, and all you have to do is tell me the animal that's associated with each one. But to make it a little bit more difficult for you, I'm going to pronounce each one of the meats backwards. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Ready.
Now, from what animal do we get Phoebe? F-E-E-B.
Steer.
That is correct. That is beef. That's absolutely right. Stay right in there pitching now, Mrs. Horn. You'll get a toot in here sooner or later. Here's number two. K-R-O-P. Crop is meat from what animal?
Pig.
Pig is correct, and Mrs. Horn got the pig there, just ahead of her husband. He must have had the same difficulty. Now, here's number three. This is very difficult. Watch out for it. No cab. N-O-C-A-B. What animal?
Bacon.
Pig.
Pig is correct, and Mr. Horn had his hand on the pig the first time there. Now, here's number four, a little more difficult, to a different animal this time. Notum. N-O-T-T-U-M. The meat.
Mutton.
Mutton is correct. Sheep is correct. And the husband leads by a score of 62. What's the matter, Mrs. Horn?
Wait a minute.
Do anything. Now, here's the last one. Last, now listen to this closely. This is tough. Nosy Nav. N-O-S.
Rabbit.
Your husband out of it. N-O-S-I-N-E-L. Nosy Nav.
Oh, venison deer.
Venison deer. I love the way you said that. And you still, you did well, but your husband ticked you off there by a score of 6-4. Now $5 on the line for you, Mrs. Antlerhead. If you can come up with the right answer to a question this time from the woman's world, you'll find various subjects listed over there under the men's world. Which one do you think you know a little bit about, honeychild?
Well, I think I'll pick salesman.
You think you'll pick salesman, oh, bless. Heard any good story about salesman lately? Don't tell
him.
This is the wrong thing. Never allow stories about salesmen here. Would you say that married men make better salesmen than single men, Mrs. Horn?
Yes, I would.
You would, eh? Could you give us some good reasons why you say that?
Well, they're more used to arguing.
Guess there's no doubt about that. Now, what else can you say for them?
Well, they're usually much better liars.
Better liars. You have a right to resent that if you wish, Mr. Horn. It's sort of a reflection on you. Does your husband lie to you?
Well, I don't know. After 16 years, I don't think you can tell.
You can't tell, huh? So you hit them over the head anyway, just to make sure. All right, you say they'll argue better. They'll fabricate a little bit, perhaps. Now, what else would you say makes them better salesmen?
I think they really like to hear themselves talk.
No kidding.
I really do.
You know why that is? It's because you dames never give them a chance to open their mouths at home. That's easy to know. But you say had a lot of truth in it, Mrs. Horn, so pay the lady, Ed. She knew what she was talking about every minute. Score now, 9-6 in favor of the little woman. Here's your chance to grab, jump back ahead there, Mr. Horn. Over there on our little board, subjects dear to the heart of women. Which one of those you take a fellow feeling for?
I'll try that number 4, beauty problems.
You try beauty problems, I see. I can understand that, why that would be a problem to you. That's quite clear. Now here, beauty problems are women's biggest worries. I think you'll agree, aren't they, Mr. Hart?
They sure are.
Always trying something new, aren't they?
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, I know. I guess you and I have the same kind of wives. Mine came home the other day with a bucket of mud on. She called it Mendelssohn's magic mud. I think it was. You slap it on your face, and in 10 minutes you look like a brick stoop. I was sitting on her when she came home. I had to be told. Now, here's your beauty problem, Mr. Horn. I want you to explain these beauty terms to us, if you will. The first one is crokinole. Now, what is that? Crokinole.
Isn't that an Indian?
An Indian. I think you've got your noles mixed up there. That's a Seminole you're thinking of, isn't it? This is a different. Think of another one.
It must be a dye.
Must be because it's got a croak in it.
Well, no, but you just
sounded
that way.
Well, it sounds that way. All right. Well, it's not a dye. Now, what else do they do with their hair?
Oh, they curl it.
That's the idea. Crokinole is a type of curl. Now, how about this one? A rat. What does that refer to? A rat.
Sounds like a cheap fur coat to me.
Nice in a woman's hair, too, I'm sure. Well, it might be, but it's also a beauty term, and it has to do with the hair, too. Now, how would it be used?
I know. That's something they put bumps on their heads with.
They put bumps on their heads. Maybe interesting for the phrenological society, I see. Well, you got the idea there, Mr. Boyum. Now, they sort of wrap the hair around it. Now, how about a henna? You know what that is?
Oh, I think I do. That's something they soak their heads in.
They soak their heads. That's good. That's a wrench. All right. That's good. Pay the man $5. He's a beauty expert. Well, let's take a look at the score here in the Horn family. The husband, 11. The little lady, a 9.
So the husband is the winner.
The husband is the winner.
The husband is the winner. Let's give him a great big hand.
Mr. Horn, along with it, this beautiful and dependable Whitnor watch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches. And we'll be hearing from you again at the end of the show, and you'll try your skill at winning a wonderful Federal 16-inch television receiver, the last word in television perfection. And as a little memento of this occasion for you, Mrs. Horn, we'd like you to have this lovely Evan silver-plated table lighter. Thank you both very much. You were both grand sports.
Thank you.
Now, friends, before we meet our second couple, Bill Wurgis and the Jesters, we'd like you to meet McGuire's Musketeers. Well, bring them on in, boys. Bring them right on in.
It was in McGuire's restaurant we formed a company. A bold, courageous Irishman who loved America. Our Captain Joe McGuire was a man who had no fears. We made him the commander of McGuire's Musketeers. We marched, we marched, we marched along Broadway. The people there at us did stare with our uniforms so gay. They gave us hearty greeting and filled the air with cheers. They shouted Bugabala for McGuire's Musketeers. Tears.
Patsy with his wooden leg who played the piccolo. And Skinny Dinny Dugan had a trumpet he could blow. While Owie McGee went swizzle-dee-dee on his fife for all to hear. A band of fine musicians was McGuire's musketeers. We marched, we marched, we marched along Broadway. The people there at us to stare with our uniforms so gay. They gave us hearty greeting and filled the air with cheers. They shouted Bacabala for McGuire's musketeers. There was Kelly and McCarthy, Hogan, Duffy and O'Brien, Pat Nolan and O'Hara and young handsome John O'Ryan. Wherever they go, the ladies would show their smiles and give three cheers. And no one else could flirt with them but McGuire's musketeers. We marched, we marched, we marched along Broadway. The people there at us did stare with our uniforms so gay. They gave us hearty greeting and filled the air with cheers. It's great to be a member of McGuire's Musketeers. It's great to be a member of McGuire's Musketeers.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen. Marvelous, Justin, marvelous. And now let's say how do you do to couple number two, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Parsons, all the way from the Bronx. Hey! Well, welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Parsons, to our little family filibuster. How are things with the Parsons family? Little short E-flat guy here. This woman's a towering big cat. Well, you look very nice now that you're on your stilts there, Mr. McGuire. Let's see how close I can come to this pair. I'd say you've been married, let's see, 15 years, perhaps?
Oh, no. 27 years. Next month.
No. Yes for you, Pop, but no for your lovely wife. You must have been just a child bride, Mrs. Parsons.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
How old were you?
Oh, 18.
Been married 27 years, see, 18, 17, 27. Hey, do you know something? You're 10 years older than I am, would you believe it?
Oh, well, I think you're a bigger liar than I am.
You think I'm a bigger liar than... Well, how do you like that? Do you have a family?
Surely, five.
Surely, five? Mm. How old are the other children? Well, good for you. That's a fine family. What do you do for a living, Mr. Parsons?
I'm in the post office.
You're in the post office business? Well, bless my soul. I'm an old P.O. employee myself. Delivered the mail for a week. Rain, sleet, snow, and slush. Ruffner stayed home and got the bum rice. I'll tell you, after 27 years, this fellow doesn't still think he's the better half of the family, does he, Mrs.
Well,
Parsons?
Well, he says he is.
He says he does the effrontery of this young man here. Well, it's high time he proved it, don't you think so?
Indeed,
I do. He'll have his opportunity right now. By mixing words and numbers together this time, you can come up with the right answers to these questions. I'm going to read off some sentences, leaving a word out of each one. All you have to do is substitute a number from 1 to 10 for the missing word each time. When I say dash, you fill in the number. These are easy, so be ready to jump on them quickly. Now, here we go. I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday, and after we dashed, we went to a ball game. From 1 to 10.
8.
8 is correct. Very good. Put 2 up there for the post office department. Here's the second one. We were rooting for the home team to win, and they dash. We were rooting for the home team to win, and they dash.
They won.
That's correct, number one. And the little lady has the second win over here. Now, here's number three. They were in there battling, dash the lead.
Four.
That is correct. They were battling for the lead. Right you are. Now, here's number four. These get harder as we go along. They had dash win to stay in first place.
Two.
That is correct. They had to win to stay in first place. This man's given his little lady to come up, and she deserves here. Now, with so much at stake, a team off dash crashed under the strain. This is a tough one. With so much at stake, a team off dash cracks under the strain.
One? No.
Go up the other end of the strain.
Ten.
Off ten cracks under the strain. That is correct. And the little lady finally clicks through here with another. Score on the family so far, 6-4 in favor of our bold postal man here. And now, Mrs. Parsons, here's a solo for you and a chance for you to catch up as you tackle one of these subjects over there under the men's world. Which one will it be for an easy five spot?
Well, I think I'll take men's hair.
You think you'll take men's hair? I think you did already, honey dear. That's where it went, huh? Okay. Made a rat out of it, no doubt. You know, it's a funny thing that women... He was a rat already, I know. You know, it's a funny thing. Women have 101 different ways of wearing their hair. Men, on the other hand, if they have any hair left at all, wear it in one or two, possibly three ways. You remember that, don't you? Yeah, you remember that. Can you tell us three different ways that they wear it, Mrs. Parsons? Go right ahead.
Well, parted.
They parted, that's right. On one side or in the middle, that's right. Now, how else?
Oh, they comb it straight back with
it. In pompadour, that is correct. Now, how else do they do it?
Well, bald-headed people don't wear any at all.
They don't wear... Well, isn't that convenient? They generally have a little around the edges, but they can't do much with that. Now, is there any other place that men wear their hair, any other way that men wear their hair?
On their chin.
On their chin. A little goatee? Bless my soul, that woman is smart. Shut my mouth. It's chock her up with spin over there. She's clever. Now, let's get back to the husband here. What do you say, Baldy? You ready to tackle one of those questions from the men's world over there? Which will you take? Take a woman's world question. That's easier.
Two.
Well, that's an easy topic for any man. I have no doubt at all that you are a connoisseur in this particular department. You like to put around in the kitchen preparing foods?
Well, sometimes.
You're a cheerful liar. Well, let's see if you can tell me what sort of a concoction is suggested by the following. It's in the form of a what am I, and here are the clues. I'm easy to make and attractive to see. No culinary skill do you need to make me. My name I derive from a famed British earl who introduced me to a food-hungry world. His last name I bear, and when you break it in two, you get dirt and goblins as your only clue. The dirt's a bit sandy. The goblin's a witch. Put them both together, and you have a what?
Sandwich.
By the Earl of Sandwich, that's 100% correct, and the husband came through. That was a real tough one. Now let's take a look at the score over here. And again, by a very narrow margin, 11-9 in favor of the husband.
So the husband is the winner.
The husband is the winner.
The husband is the winner. Let's give him a great big hand.
How far did the family go to you, Mr. Parsons? And the better half, you're entitled to this beautiful Whitnor watch, both attractive and dependable. We'll be hearing from you again in a little while when you two try your skill at winning a handsome Federal television receiver, one of the finest sets made today. You tried real hard over there, Mrs. Parsons. You did well, too. Along with the cash you won, we'd like you to have this smart Evans automatic table lighter called the Aladdin, and I'm sure you folks are going to like it. Thank you very, very much. Well, now it's time to meet our third pair of lovebirds who make their little nest in Ozone Park, Long Island. And here they are, Mr. and Mrs. Anthony Nicolosi. How do you do and how are you, Mr. and Mrs. Nicolosi?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, you know something? Your face looks very familiar to me, Mr. Nicolosi. Have we met before?
Perhaps we have.
I thought so. What type of work do you do?
I'm a probation officer.
Yes, I Good evening, isn't it? Well, don't stand there, fellas. Bring the guy a glass of water, a roll of bills, a time bomb, a stretcher, a straitjacket, anything. Where did you ever meet this handsome fellow, Mrs. Nicolosi?
Oh, I met him under the grandstands at a football game.
A very romantic doll among the pop bottles. I'm just popping away. You were on probation at the time, perhaps?
No, I was teaching.
You were teaching. You made with the books while he made with the crooks. Well, this should be an interesting contest. Let's see what happens here. There's a lot of talk about houses these days. So suppose we concern ourselves with some different kinds of houses tonight. Now, these are not all of a structural nature, but they do contain the words house. Now, the first one, for instance, is made up of three of a kind and a pair. What kind of a house would that be?
Oh, that's full house.
Full house, that's a poker term, a hand I love to hold. That's one for you, $2 for the husband there. Now, here's number two. A brand or trade name for a beverage suggests what famous house? A brand of coffee.
Maxwell House.
Good to the last drop. And that was the woman. The woman by just the max on the Maxwell House. I didn't hit it that time.
No, I didn't.
All right, it's 2-2, and here's number three. You'll have to be quick to beat him on this, Mrs. Nicolosi. A hotel for bums is called what kind of a house?
Flophouse.
She must have met somebody else under the grandstand. Now, here is number four. The little lady leads you need this one. What do they call a house that's used as a hospital for locomotives? A hospital
round
for...
Roundhouse.
Roundhouse is right. By George, I bet you're the composer of that wonderful song, Run Into the Roundhouse, Nelly, the brakeman can't corner you there. I wouldn't know that answer. Wife leads. Now, here's number five, and let's get going. This last one is where most husbands wind up.
Oh, that's the doghouse.
The doghouse. The man's a pal. He's a friend. Welcome to the club. And now, Mrs. Nicolosi, suppose you cast your lovely jet black eyes on that beautiful child over there and tell us which one of those masculine subjects you'd like to concern yourself for the next few moments here. Which would you like to take?
I think I'll take one, baseball.
You think you'll take one baseball? I'm sorry. Has anybody got a baseball? Well, okay. We'll give you something about baseball then. It is really the big topic of conversation with all the men folks these days. You like the game, Mrs. Nicolosi?
Yes.
Who do you think will win the pennant?
Oh, the Yanks.
The Yanks!
Yes! Well, the Bums!
The Bums?
Yeah. Of course they will.
I hope they both win and meet each other in the pennant. That's all. Well, I'm going to paint a little word picture for you of a baseball game. Now, there are five things wrong in this picture. We'll pay you $5 if you can spot just three out of the five, Mr. Nicolosi. Listen to it closely and stop me when there's something wrong. Here we go. With the bases full and all four men ready to run, the pitcher, a southpaw, puts his glove on his right hand and starts his windup. The batter, with a count of 3-3 on him, smacks the next one over the catcher's head into center field. The center fielder catches the ball on the first bounce for the second out, retiring the side.
Is that baseball?
It's not Mel Allen's version, but that's this version. That's the better half version. Now, there are five things wrong there. What are they, Mrs. Nicolosi?
Oh.
Polo, anyone?
Oh, I don't know much about it.
You don't know much about it? Don't know? Oh, you tell her a couple of things were on there, Mr. Nicolosi.
Four men, I think, were on base.
Yeah, that couldn't be.
That's
one. Now, you go right ahead. That's one.
I really wasn't paying much attention. Let's see.
I'll go on from there.
The south boy had his glove on the right hand, which is right. That's okay.
That's right. That's good. The batter hit the batter with a count of 3-3 on him, smacks the first pitch over the catcher.
3-3? He's out.
That's right. He's out. You're not kidding, boy. Now, he smacks the next one over the catcher's head into center field.
That's quite a big head.
Yeah, go out to second base. Same point. Right, you are. You have detected the things that are wrong there, and we have to give that five that belong to you, Mrs. Nicolosi, by rights to your husband, and give him a chance to go still further ahead here as he tackles the subject from the woman's world. Which one will you take, Mr. Nicolosi?
I think I'll tackle housework.
You think you'll tackle housework? That's a nice thing for you to do under the circumstances. You have a little tender-looking wife there. Probably doesn't want to get her hands all calloused and rough and red. Now, you do lend a hand occasionally at home, Mr. Nicolosi, then.
I do sometimes.
Tell me this. Do you think that the average husband, if he wanted to, could run a house as well as his wife?
I think he can.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, he can't.
Well, now, you had your chance, Mrs. Nicolosi. Could you tell us some things that a man might do even better than a woman in the line of housework?
Well, for instance, a man would do better in moving piano around the house better than she would.
You haven't met my wife, boy. She can throw a piano rather than I can push it. Well, I guess that's... what else might a husband do better?
Well, he could mop the house faster than she can.
That's right. He could mop up the floors with his wife. That's what you mean, isn't it? Okay, what else can you say about men and housework?
They could do it faster.
Why could they do it faster, Mrs. Nicolosi?
They just don't do it at all. They just put the dirt under the rug.
Oh, is that so? You got the important answer there, Mrs. Nicolosi, so I'm going to give his five right over to you, honey girl. Congratulations to you. And the little... We had to have one woman. Is that right? That's correct. Little woman wins by a score of 11-9.
So the wife is the winner.
The wife is the winner.
The wife is the winner. Let's give her a great big hand.
Here's the beautiful Lonesome Whitmore watch. The exquisite Whitmore. In just a moment, you and our other two family winners will try your luck at the right answers that will net you a brand new Federal television receiver. Mr. Nicolosi, a reminder of the occasion for you. This handsomely designed Evans silver-plated table lighter. Thanks to you both, you were swell. Time now for our three family winners to try their skill at winning an additional prize here tonight, a wonderful new Federal television receiver with giant 16-inch picture tube. Federal television receivers are made in a variety of handsome table and consolette models, carefully designed and brilliantly engineered to give you years and years of the finest television reception. Big, clear, bright pictures free from glare and eye strain, plus Federal's famous high-fidelity sound. You're looking at the best when you're looking at Federal. Well, with the
Beautiful season of fall now underway. Bill Wirtz and the Jesters have gone to work and arranged a fall medley for you tonight. You'll find the words fall or falling in the titles of each of the songs they sing and play. Listen to them closely and mark down on those cards in front of you the titles of each of the tunes. Be sure you list them in their proper order. You need 5 correct to win. All right, boys, fall in.
Let's close our eyes and make our own paradise. Little we know of it, still we can try to make a go of it. La, 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 why shouldn't we fall in love? Now is the time for it while we are young. La, 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 la. Falling for nobody else but you. Hey, Mr. Parson, stand by. Falling for nobody else but you. I fell in love with love, with love everlasting. But love fell out with me.
Well, there you have them. And now while you're collecting the cards, here's some mighty good advice for everyone. I wonder how many of you folks at home are able to fall in line with the fall tunes of tonight's medley. They were as follows. Let's fall in love. I'm falling in love with someone. I've got a feeling I'm falling. I'm riding for a fall and falling in love with love. Well, let's see how our contestants did. Mr. Horn got 4 out of 5. He only missed the first one, let's fall in love. Mrs. Nicolosi got 3 out of 5. She missed the 4th and 5th. Mr. Parsons got the first one, falling in love, and then he writes, I fall down and go boom. Well, no federal television set for tonight, but next week, plenty more of the same. And that's all for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be on at 9 o'clock, 1/2 hour earlier next week, 9 to 9:30. Remember that. This Tiny Ruckner and all of us wishing all of you a most pleasant weekend. The Better Half is a Jack Graham production and came to you tonight by transcription.
From September 23, 1949, Mutual's show, The Better Half. Thanks for listening, and if there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk about old-time radio, drop me a note at dan@radiofun.info. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.